This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 221. We're doing the final chapter from the Resident Evil series from 2016. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
Nate, from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen the last chapter?
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I saw this at the theater, and I thought I might have watched this since then, but when I watched it now, I realized I have not seen this since... I didn't even remember half of the stuff that happened. So It's been since 2017 that I saw it.
Yeah, I seen this once, and let me tell you, it was like a brand new start when I was watching it again. I was like, what is going on? But yeah, I can't wait to go into this more. But before we do, you know, we got to figure out what the critics and the audience have to say about Resident Evil, the last chapter from 2016. Is it going to close in a high note for the series, or is it going to close as a dud in the waiting? So, Nate, what the critics have to say?
I mean, I really doubt that it's going to, you know, the way we've been going pretty much, I don't know how much of a high note it will end on, but I will say this, it is higher than some of the more recent entries. This sits at a 37% critics, which is still not good, but it's higher than the last ones, I think the last two or three. And the audience score is actually a 47, which is not that great for this franchise. The audience scores have usually been a little bit higher, but so yeah, 37 and 47.
All right, so I got all the Rotten Tomatoes in, because I said I was going to copy them to the final. So let's just get into this just quick, just a little quick. This is the highest one since Resident Evil 1 for the critics.
And I think it's almost the same number, right? Wasn't that like a
35 Resident Evil 1. This is 37, so it was 2%
this
higher.
This is the highest.
This is the highest the critics gave it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Now, in terms of 47, the highest one would be Resident Evil 2 Apocalypse from 2004 with a 60.
Okay.
And then came the highest one was Resident Evil 1, 67. Then came 60, but then it worked its way down. And then it shot back up with Resident Evil 5 with 51. So this is ending on a low note for the audience.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
but that's crazy. I had no idea that this was the highest critics one. Now, I got some numbers for you, too, because I just wanted to check on this when I was watching it. And I'm going to explain why I got these numbers in a moment. But here's another fun fact. Something we don't really do anymore, but I just wanted to do really quick, was the box office and the budgets for these movies. Check this out, Alex. You're not going to believe this. The first movie had a budget of $33 million, made $103 million. Not bad. The second one had a budget of $45 million, had made $129. Said, okay, we're going up. Next movie also had a $45 million budget, but it made $147. So same budget, more money. Now here's where it gets crazy. The fourth one, the one we like, jumps up to a $60 million budget, but it makes $300 million. This is worldwide, $300 million, right? Now the fifth movie, they said, you know what? We got a real hit here. We just made $300 million. We'll give you an extra $5 million because that one has a $65 million budget. It made $240 million, so not as good. So what happens here? They said, you know what? We still made money, but not enough. The budget is down to $40 million. This movie has the second lowest budget out of the whole franchise, but it made $312 million. So it made the most money on the smallest budget, the second smallest budget. So that's going to factor into some things when we talk about this movie, I believe. But yeah, an interesting... I mean, clearly, they all made money. So it's a profitable franchise, which is why they kept making these movies.
Well, it is. I'm just going to run them down quick for you guys out there that are listening and girls out there that are listening also. Resident Evil 1, critics, 35%. Audience, 67%. 2002. Resident Evil 2, Apocalypse, critics, 19%. Audience, 60%. 2004. Resident Evil 3, Extinction, critics, 24%. Audience, 58% from 2007. Resident Evil Afterlife, 2010. Critics, 21%. 1%, 48% audience. And then, of course, Resident Evil 5, Retribution, was critics, 28%, audience, 51%. And then Resident Evil 6, last chapter, 37%, and an audience of 47%. So it was on a seesaw up and down, but it kind of, for the critics, was on, it was in an even slate. They ended on a high note for that. But yeah. So let's get right into it. Let's get into our movie reviews. Let's throw out all these Rotten Tomatoes scores and box office numbers. Let's see what we thought about the final chapter. Was it a hit or was it not? Nate, take it away. Lead character, Alice, for the final time.
Let me just tell you right now. This movie's hilarious in all the wrong ways. I laughed so much in this movie. First of all, this is new. I didn't know this was going to happen. I'm giving her a one. I'm going to tell you why. She's no longer, by the end of this movie, she's no longer an actual character. Because the whole damn time, she's been a clone. All these movies, she's just a she's not even a real person. She was never even born. She was made in a lab, right? And as soon as little old Mila Jovovich old rolls up in the wheelchair, I nearly fell off my bed. I was watching this in bed. I nearly rolled off of it because I couldn't. I just was cracking up. I was like, no, I don't remember this. This can't be the movie I watched in 2017, but it is. So turns out Alice is a clone of Alicia, who's the daughter of the co-founder of Umbrella, who has a disease like Jack from Robin Williams, who makes her, she's 25 years old, and she looks like she's 75 years old or something like that, right? And in a crazy or a clever, I guess, bit of casting, they cast Mila Jovovich to play herself and her old self, and they cast her daughter to play her young self. So the Red Queen in this one, who's the, what, this is like the fifth different Red Queen in these movies. It's her daughter, her real life daughter. So I gave her a one. She is in this movie. She's been bland before, right? But in this one, she was just fully bland. And then as soon as they reveal that this character is just a clone, like she was created in a lab and she really has no backstory. So I feel like they had an opportunity to maybe give her a cool backstory here and give her some sort of, and they really didn't, you know? Her one defining trait is that she had a good heart and was willing to sacrifice herself. But wouldn't you be if you discovered you actually were not even a real person? Yeah. I know I would. I just had a problem with it. I didn't like her in this. I thought Mila was fine in the action. Again, she usually is. I gave her a one. At this point in this franchise, she's no longer any sort of character to me. She's just like there.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I gave her a three. I liked her in the role. Again, she fits the character. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you in terms of when I saw her in the wheelchair. Now, you said it was her sister that played her?
No, she plays herself and her old self. And her daughter plays the young one.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that. And I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of liked it because it was cool because it resembles that what they were trying to do. So I was like, I gave it credit for that. It should have been that the whole time, but I know she wasn't born, I think, by the time these movies came out. Yeah, so I kind of understand why they did what they did. But in terms of a three, why did I give it a three? I liked her. I thought the fighting sequences were her in it. She commands the screen when she's doing the fighting. The driving sequences were her driving. Awesome. Her with the other characters was cool. She was not monotone like before. Like she was always like quiet or whatever. She was more talking and whatever. I agree with you. I mean, once they showed her older self come in and that clone thing, I deducted mad points. I was just like, you're like, and again, I don't remember just like you. Like, I don't remember this much.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting, but I was like, this is not a way you should have ended the series. To me, I think this should have been in the third movie and going, you know, why? Because remember he was looking for her and they were like, why are you so obsessed with her? This is when they could have did it. Showed her in a BAFTA tank like in Star Wars, her older self. But yeah, honestly, I wasn't too fond of that whole old thing because she didn't do nothing. She was just there going, and then, we'll talk about it, villain. But that's a three. Let's get to villain. What did you think of Dr. Isaacs and Wesker?
Okay, so Wesker, this time, you know what? I don't know what happened with this actor, but he toned it down a little bit. It's kind of weird. He acted a little more regular. He was less annoying than I think in the last two movies. To me, he was super hammy in those movies. Alice, I'm going to find you and give you the powers. Come to Washington and I'll give you the powers. And in this movie, he still kind of talks like that, but not as much. He's a little more normal. So I thought that was okay. I was like, okay, he's not as weird. Dr. Isaacs. So here we go. Now, and this is going to be more, I have more to say in storyline, but one thing I hate in this movie is like dude shows up and he's like a Catholic priest in a truck and he is a clone. He is a clone. And my issue with this is the sixth movie and this is not the first time they've done this where it doesn't matter what happens to any characters because they have clones in this movie, right? In this franchise. So anyone can die? Clone. Guess what? Wesker, when he blew up, is probably a clone. This Wesker, whichever one this is probably a clone. So nothing's final, which makes it kind of annoying. You know what I mean? And even, I'll save that for story. But anyway, so this Isaacs, we finally meet the real doctor, for the first time, because he's been like hidden away and they finally unlock him and he has like special predictive fighting powers, which is so stupid. I mean, it's like they watch the Sherlock Holmes movies where he like plans out his fights and they're like, we'll add technology on it and we'll put predictive fighting at the bottom. He can like predict. This technology makes no sense, because how can you psychically know what the other person is going to do? You can. Now, I could understand this technology being a reactive technology, like, okay, it recognizes the way their body's moving that they're going to throw a right punch and you can block it. But this thing lets him see the future, which doesn't make any sense. So I kind of hate that. It's pretty dumb. With that, he also has like the teleporting powers now, like Wesker did, where he like, he just dodged bullets, but he doesn't even go that fast because he's an old guy, you know? All that said, I gave him a 2. I gave him a 2 because I think he's kind of trash, but he does fight. He cuts off her fingers. He breaks her hand. He beats her up a little bit. At least he does all that stuff. And Wesker was slightly less annoying. So, and then, you know, with these movies, we factored in everything. So this has zombies in it. This has creatures that just come out of, there's dragons. There's a fat underwater zombie. There's this weird thing that's like in the room full of chains. I don't know what that thing is, but I'm still going to give it a 2 only.
Yeah. Again, I told the main villain, I gave it 3. I factored everything. Like, I'm not even, this is not even Dr. Isaac's like score. Dr. Isaac, I'll just so quick. I'm starting to get annoyed with the clone shit. Like, it reminded me of Mission Impossible 2 when everyone had the mask, when it was like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just like, it's only cool when you reveal it once.
Yes. And then everyone starts milking the mask and the voice changer and all this. This one was the same thing. It was like, was he the clone? Whisker had 8 of them in Afterlife. Well, not Afterlife, in the fourth one or the fifth one, Retribution. He had like 5 of them. And it was just like, it was getting annoying. Now he had a clone, which I like the actor. I think he's an excellent actor. And he's Batman in Titans, which he's really good as Batman, as Bruce Wayne. So,
and then Game of Thrones too.
No, he was in Game of Thrones. Yeah, Khaleesi's like right hand. Yeah. So I was like, he was so good. But again, he comes at the end. The crazy dude reminded me of Johnny Mnemonic. What's his name? Dolph Lundgren's character. That he was the church guy with the big ass knife. With the same type of character.
Stabs everybody in this movie.
Yeah, he does. I don't know. I felt something. Like, if it was the real one, I would have said, man, I would have given him a lot of points, because he became crazy. And I would have been like, oh, wow. He went into that religious, like, nut, the end of the world dude type thing. Because when he was banging the cups, he was like, let her walk or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Non-believer or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, that's actually pretty cool. But you see the real one come out. I don't know. The fight sequences with him, I agree with you. I don't know. Because this is my problem. And you could quote, I don't know. Didn't they stab Alice with this shit? Because I'm kind of confused. Didn't they stab her with powers? Because she did not have it.
No, remember in this movie,
No one removed it. Not that I remember.
No, in this movie, they said, someone had a line where they said, you thought Wesker like pretended to give you your powers back. He said it was fake. Even though in the movie they showed the little tease go into
taking
her.
Over her blood. Yeah.
But in this one they said, you thought he did, but he just pretended.
Oh, what? That's what the Red Queen, the daughter told her. Yep. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's good to do some points on the storyline. Yeah. All right. Look, with that said, look, that is fucking horrible. that is horrible. I gave it a 3. Whisker's a piece of shit. He didn't do nothing. He had a door falling on his leg, and that's it. Off. And he's blown up. He said,
help me.
Yeah, and old ass Alice was like, she said something.
You're just dying. Make it quick or something like that. Some crap.
Make it quick. All right. With that said, let's get into action sequence.
Man, I don't like this movie. I don't like this movie at all. And here's where that budget comes into account. This movie looks so much worse than the last 2 movies to me. I don't know if it was maybe you noticed it too. You want to talk about a shaky camera? You can't see crap in almost any of the action movies. Now, I will say this. In the story, this is 10 years after the first movie, but in real life, it's 15 years after the first movie. So Mila Jovovich is not a spring chicken at this point, right? She's a little older. She's in great shape, don't get me wrong. But she's not, you know, 25 years old doing all these action scenes and stuff like that. Maybe that's a reason why, you know, in Retribution, as dumb as that movie is, at least, like, remember that hallway fight scene was really awesome, and the way it's shot wide and you could see it and slow-mo. This movie has no slow-mo, and the other ones did. But instead of slow-mo, they went with super mega ultra-fast cut editing.
Cuts, yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what's happening half the time. There's a lot of guns. early on. Some of the action scenes in the beginning are okay. The dragon chase scene thing, like, well, I don't know why that dragon is there. And it looked kind of dumb, but it was okay. I do like the scene where she fights all those military guys under the bridge and she's like hanging from the thing. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. But once you get into like the tank thing, you can't see what's happening because of the editing. And then the rest of the movie is so dark. Was your super dark? I couldn't see crap. Like, it was dark. It's lit. So this movie's lit horribly. And now that I watched it, I remembered this was my issue in the theater because I reviewed this on my old podcast years ago. It's so dark that it's just like you can't make out who's who and what's what in some of the action scenes. If you take a movie, okay, if you're going to do fast editing like that with quick cuts, you can't also make it dark. You have to have one or the other. If you want to save some money and make it look, you know, disguise some of the stuff, okay, lighting. But then don't also mix in editing. I hate the way this movie is edited. I hate the way the action scenes are shot. The only one I really like was the rope one. As it goes on, they get worse and worse. There's a lot of explosions and like the zipline people with the, I started dozing off. Like I was kind of bored. I gave it a 2. I didn't like the action because I don't like the way it was shot. I couldn't see what was happening half the time.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see, I don't know if it's, again, I have an OLED. So maybe that's why it was brighter, maybe.
I don't know. Could this be? Crap was dark in the theater. So, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I saw a lot of stuff. Anyway, I gave it a 3. I thought it was good in terms of action. I love the driving sequence between that and the dragons. I mean, you sucker me with that stuff. Like, even in the Godzilla, when they do that shit, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I agree. My favorite scene out of the whole, well, actually there's 2 of them. Her under the bridge was awesome.
It was cool.
When she fought the dude with the bikes and all that, I thought that was cool. Second, when she lit up the entire building with fire. And they killed all those zombies.
Cool. Yeah,
I thought it was pretty cool. Far-fetched, because they all should have got killed. But I thought it was a pretty cool sequence there. Other than that, when they fought in the underground, it was okay. And I wasn't too crazy with that. The fight between her and Isaacs, I hate fights like that. I hated when Wesker did it with her. I thought it was stupid and annoying. Where was Chris in all this, Redfield? Did he die? I assume he died, maybe. Leon Kennedy? What happened to all of them in the White House?
No, but they don't have clones, so they're probably all dead. Yeah, where's Ada Wong? She went to the White House. Where's she?
Yeah, they were all standing on top of the thing like poster shots.
Well, we're going to talk about it in a second.
Oh, okay. Well, I gave it a 3. I thought it was good. I thought it was good action. For the final movie, I should have been a 5. They should have went all out, but they went with this type of stupid storyline. So I gave it a 3. All right, Nate, what's the storyline?
A 1. I can't. I tried to like, none of this makes sense. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Number 1, what you just said. The way the last movie ends and the way this one starts make no sense. She goes to Wesker with all these people. Right? Not Claire, because Claire was missing in part 5, but she went with Ada Wong. I think Leon went with them too.
Yeah, like Leon Kennedy was there.
Yeah, there was a group of them. Wesker was good, right? He's going to give her powers back so she could fight against the zombies and do something. This movie starts. Now, first of all, we get another, my name is Alice. I work for the Umbrella Corporation. And then we get all these little windows showing you everything that happened in every other movie. Okay, like for the 5th time already. And then there's a prequel scene that makes no sense. At no point in Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil 3 did they say that this Isaacs guy was the co-owner and creator of Umbrella. He was a doctor in those movies. Now, he was like in charge, but he wasn't like, they never said he's the, who did they say was in charge of Umbrella? Wesker. They said Wesker is the head of Umbrella. And then in the 5th movie, the Red Queen was in charge of Umbrella. Remember that? She was like running the show. Now in the 6th movie, not only is this guy in charge, but old Alice has been here apparently the whole time, never showed up, never mentioned, never talked about her being the co-owner of Umbrella. So you're telling me this whole time, these two owners have been like alive? You know, I get it that the Isaacs guy's a clone, but he's only a clone to a certain point. He would know he was in charge or whatever. You know what I mean? So that doesn't make any sense. Then you get her. She just magically didn't get her powers. Just kidding. Haha. We told you she got powers in the last movie. She didn't. We were joking. Cool. Claire Redfield. She just happens to be at Raccoon City, which is where Alice is going. How did she get there? She said, we were abducted by Umbrella, but then we escaped on a helicopter and it crashed. Really? That's it? They were on that boat? They just got away? Where's your brother? You're right. Where's Chris? Where'd he go? Why didn't Alice ask? She didn't even ask about Chris. She didn't care. What happened to her friends? Did they all die? I don't know. And then they just, it's one of those movies where they just kind of retcon everything. Like they said, you know what? Half the stuff that happened doesn't make sense. This is the storyline now. This Red Queen, she's been this girl the whole time, even though she's been five different actresses, clearly. I don't know. It makes me frustrated and upset, and I hate it. I gave it a one.
All right, look, I'm a piggyback. I'm a piggyback on this thing. Let me just tell you something, brother. I give this a two. It's decent. It was decent. I know. I mean, I could have slapped the one all over the place, but this is the thing that got me really mad with this movie.
Okay.
So we got introduced to my man from Nightmare Before Christmas in the wheelchair and his daughter, thinking that it was the Red Queen, remember? Because she looked like the Red Queen from the first movie. Because Alice, remember that? Remember?
Exactly.
And I thought he was the co-founder because he's the one that gave birth to the Queen.
I thought he was the one making the T-virus for his daughter.
Yes. And that's exactly the storyline because I remember we were all laughing about it.
Thank you.
Yes. Now you got Paul W.S. Anderson or whatever his name is, Paul Sucky Anderson. He is god-awful. He is a god-awful writer. He is a god-awful director. I don't care what anyone tells me. I will never see a movie with this guy unless we are covering the damn thing because he is horrible. I don't like his storytelling. Sure, he does have great cinematography, like how he shoots and stuff. I'll give you that. You know what? Yeah. Direction-wise? Absolutely, dutely not, because I was so confused in this movie. This is the third movie, well, second or third movie, that when one movie ends, the next movie does not take place where they went, came from, where all the characters are from. If you can't afford the actor to come back in the next sequel, then get someone else. Because I was looking forward to seeing Leon Kennedy, Chris Redfield, my Jill baby Valentine. Claire was here, Jill die. Valentine. Yeah, yeah, I wanted to see them all back for the final movie. No, we don't get Chris.
We got Ruby Rose.
We don't
Rose.
Get Jill. Huh?
We get Ruby Rose. Who gets sucked Ruby into a Rose. Fan.
Oh, let me just tell you. That was the best thing about the movie. She got sucked into a fan.
That was my favorite.
It's just so frustrating, dude. It was so frustrating watching, like, literally sitting down and watching this movie because I kind of enjoy some of the elements. I did enjoy some of the stuff where she was by herself driving, talking to herself again, and you hear the Resident Evil, which again, they didn't play the theme no more, which it was weird. You went down our throats with it for the first five damn movies, and the final one, you're not going to play it, which was weird. I don't know. I agree with you, though. Story-wise, this thing is all over the place. Paul SWWS, whatever it is, Anderson.
Paul WD-40.
WD-40, he's a piece of shit writer, bro. Director, I'm not going to criticize his directing because he's actually pretty good.
But didn't the outbreak come out because that guy threw that thing in the hive and he threw it in the air?
Apparently not.
No. Apparently not. Apparently they actually released it at some other time. In Switzerland or something.
No. They did it on the underground boat that had like five different continents. They tested it out first before they threw it.
I know, but then they released it. Oh, in the first movie, they released it in the lab. And in this movie, they released it in Switzerland in the freaking ski lift thing. What?
Dude, this is one thing I want to ask you. How many undercover umbrella dudes are in amongst people? They were like, there's someone. Can you put, and then they make the shit obvious. Alice, please put on an earpiece.
She said, Alice, I'm resetting your watch. When the hell did she get a watch? Where did she get that watch? What is that watch?
That was the new Escape from New York.
Well, he just made stuff up. He literally just made stuff up and put it in there. Like nobody.
I don't know. I thought that shit was like mad. Like, please put on your earpiece because I have to tell you something. There's someone among you.
Put on this contact lens so you can have all these memories.
You can download your.
You can watch someone else's memories and pretend they're yours.
Like, let me just tell you something. This thing was so freaking stupid. I mean, I gave it a two. Like I said, it was decent for what it was. Yeah. All right, overall.
One. I didn't like it. You know, I'm surprised. I thought I liked it. I remember having issues with it, but I thought I liked it. And then when I rewatched it, I was like, I hate this movie. When I saw the Rotten Tomato score as the highest of the franchise, I was shocked. I'm not surprised it made the most money. Because it was anytime you put the final, sometimes that can get some fans out. Plus they did IMAX for this. I remember they did 3D. They did all the little gimmicks. But I can't believe that critics thought this was better than, first of all, I can't believe 4 is Solo still to this day. As far as a whole movie, I think it's the best of this franchise now that we've rewatched all 6. This movie's pure not like it does. If you think about any element of it, It doesn't make any sense. And I struggle with movies that make no sense at all. Like, it's really hard for me to, like, be engaged with it. If every time anything happens, I'm like, but wait a second. How did that happen? Or why is this? Or who's that? Or where did they go? And why did they get here? I'm okay with a stupid turn your brain off movie, but don't push my limits. And I feel like this movie, for me, pushed my limits. It was like, we're going to be as stupid as possible and you're still going to like it. And I didn't really like it. So it was a one for me. It was pretty rough. And it's the longest. Why is this the longest one? It doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I'm going to make sense for this. Okay. I gave this a one, too. I gave this a number one. I mean, I did not enjoy it as much. Yeah. I gave storyline a two, and I gave the rest threes or whatever. But again, certain things, I do like looking at Mia. I think she's gorgeous. She's beautiful. You know, she could carry a movie. So it's not like she can't. Yeah, she carries six movies. Let's just be honest. She carries six movies, whether they're good or bad or they go in the trash. It's all up to you. But for me, this movie just falls all over the place. Storyline it's not consistent with the first five movies. They just threw all over the place where they just basically gave you what you wanted to hear. Like, you know, I don't know. I just hate movies like this that just jumble shit all over the place. Not a clear vision of how you're going to end. And I understand. One thing about filmmaking is closure of a franchise. Like, how are you going to close every loophole or every story? That's one thing with TV. Sometimes TV shows hail it. You know, you got the great writers that stick with it since the first season. And the final is, like, magnificent. Then you change the writers and the ending is, like, so fucking horrible. You're crying, going, this is the worst ending ever for a five-year TV show that you stuck watching.
I invested all this time for nonsense.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very nonsense. So I will say this. I will end my thing here saying this. Mia, their daughter, is going to have a bright future because she was awesome as the Red Queen. I was like, she was really good. If she talks like that, I don't know if that's her real voice.
She was young Scarlett Johansson in Black Widow. In the Black Widow movie.
Yeah. So and she was good stuff? In that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really good. So she has a bright future. She was really good in this as the Red Queen. I thought it was going to be really cool. But yeah, other than that, look, I gave it a one. What's your total points?
A 7 out of 25. I always thought part 5 was my least favorite, but I think that one has some better elements than this. Because at least the action to me was better. Like, I could see what's happening and it shot better. It has a way bigger, $25 million in a franchise that's already kind of not low budget, but like middle budget. You know, 40 mil, it was too low. They needed a little bit more money for some of these. The CGI effects in this are really bad. They look worse than the movies before. I think that marked off for me as well. I didn't really talk about it, but I just think it doesn't look that cool. You could tell all the green screen shots, like, they're very distinct. And the effects, like the monster effects look corny. 7. What a whimper.
I give it a 12. Again, I gave it 3, 3, 3 and then a 2 and a 1. So for me, it's a 12. I'm not going to watch this ever again. I think this one and 5 are the worst of the bunch.
Stop at 4 and you're cool.
Yeah, 1 through 4.
Because really, the ending of this movie is not even a real ending. It says the final chapter and what happens? She's going to New York and there's still dragons in the air. And how do they explain it? The T-virus has to go airborne. It's going to take a while before it gets everywhere. And they left the door open just in case. Nobody wanted to see it. So they rebooted it. And that movie sucked. So
other than that, I gave it a 12. You gave it a whopping 7.
7. Yeah.
A 7 for the final of the Resident Evil. Now, in terms of our rankings, I'm going to be doing our rankings on a video. So that's going to be coming out in a few days. I'm going to figure out how to put it together. But once it does, I'll put it out on our Action Movie Guys podcast Instagram account. We'll push all that out. But all right, Nate, what's coming up next?
All right, so I'm going to save the reveal for the next category for after our next episode. So what's coming up on our next episode will be the culmination of our video game adaptation month. And it's going to be a little movie called DOA, Dead or Alive, starring a bunch of chicks and some guys and Kevin Nash. So we're going to be talking about that one. So you definitely don't want to miss it.
Yeah. If you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast. You can now follow us on our brand new Instagram account at Action Movie Guys Podcast. Me and Nate are going to be simultaneous uploading action, anything that has to do with our Action Movie Guys podcast, anything action oriented is going to be there. One hub for Action Movie Guys podcast. We thought it was time to give it love and have its own place other than the Geeks and Flicks account. So again, Action Movie Guys podcast on Instagram if you guys want to support us and anything. Now, if you guys want to support us, you can go to www.geeksandflicksstore.com, purchase some t-shirts. You can help out the channel. Of course, there's a Patreon. You guys can check that out also there too. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and he is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.